Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you doing?
Well, I had a wonderful zoo trip planned for this morning with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly to distract me from, you know, everything falling apart and the world being horrible. And so I was actually really looking forward to it. And I was like, I'm doing good stuff for myself. And I'm, you know, being proactive and putting myself in a good mental health spot. And as I pull into the zoo parking lot, my daughter starts screaming. And so, like, I pull over and she is just thrown up all over herself and her car seat.
Oh, my heavens.
And so that's how my day started. And
it only got better from there.
I mean, it didn't get worse. Like, I love my kids. They're not, like, driving me up the wall or anything. But it's been a rough day. Like, yesterday was so stressful for me, Jay, I forgot to go to play Crisis Protocol. I was just like, oh my god, everything's awful. And then I looked, like, at, like, 8 o'clock. I was like, oh, it's Wednesday. I was supposed to go play Marvel. Damn it. So it's just been one of those weeks. It's rough.
Yeah, I've basically... I spent, like, it feels like the majority of yesterday just, like, doom scrolling through Twitter, and yeah, so that and eating a lot of sugar.
Yeah, I found clearance pretzels that have brownies inside of them, so.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah,
that's what I had for lunch today. Just a bowl of them.
The thing that's kind of sad about everything, and like, this is, I'm being, like, non-sarcastic serious here, like, as I watch the stuff going on in the news, like, I see the people and I'm just like, those people look like my neighbors and behave like my neighbors. And like, Idaho just, it does have a large population who, that's their worldview. And so, like, I honestly kind of expected something like this. So it's by no means is it something that, like, do I take any comfort in, I guess, my fears or anxieties being coming true at this point. But yeah, anyway, so before we dive in on this episode, Greg, I was thinking a lot about an exchange we had about Magneto. Uh-oh. And so he was, you know, you made reference to the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, and I said, oh, well, I'm really they're, you know, the Brotherhood of Misunderstood Mutants. And he said, no, that's what they call themselves. And I've come up with a solution or a response to this, Greg, as to what I think is actually going on.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So I'm sure that you're familiar with the, you know, the adage of whoever, you know, wins the war writes the history of the writes history period. And that's basically, that's what's going on. Like, the X-Men had to feel better. So of course it's the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. They wrote history. That's what's happened.
Okay. Fine. Evil is in their team name.
Right. That is the name that the X-Men gave them. Correct.
that fascist Stan Lee put it in their title. Darn him and his strong authoritarian bent.
Yeah. So, I guess, anything else that is going on with you or that you want to discuss?
I'm really enjoying Spider Foes and Criminal Syndicate as a pairing. They have a lot of overlap, and I think they're really fun. That's all. Like, working out really well.
I don't get to play in person, obviously, and I haven't tried out online yet. I ought to. Tomorrow, I am going to play an online game of War Machine with Aaron Well from Australia. So
nice.
That should be fun. Hopefully.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
It will. And yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. Brian and I I got him for Christmas the really, really, really big Millennium Falcon Lego set.
Uh-huh, yeah. How big is it?
it's really big, Greg.
So big.
And so it has, like, basically 17 groupings of bags. And so we've been doing a grouping a day, and we're starting to get uncomfortably close to the end of that, and I'm not sure what our, like, daily zen together is going to be after that, but that has been nice to do. Maybe we can, like, do some cool jigsaw puzzles or something together, and that isn't quite as expensive as Legos.
So there's actually some really cool jigsaw puzzles that just came out by the Magic Puzzle Company.
Okay.
I saw them in Target, and they're actually pretty incredible. They even have, like, a legacy style bag that you open up when you've completed the puzzle. And I haven't finished one of them yet, but they're really cool. They look amazing, and the art is gorgeous, and, like, the pieces are really well made. So if you look for Magic Puzzle Company.
We got the puzzle that we haven't started, we got from Target, and they didn't have anything that was, like, we're super excited about. I don't think they had the ones that you were mentioning. But we did get, have you seen or played the board game Villainous?
Yes. Well, I know of it, and I really want to play it, and I have a group that we're already, like, planning a board game night once we can meet up. And we're going to play Marvel Villainous and Infinity Gauntlet, which I bought because it's a Love Letter knockoff.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right. Retheming of Love Letter. Anyways, the puzzle we got was themed on, like, I think Dr. Facilier and Villainous, and you get, like, a limited edition Dr. Facilier token for Villainous. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
We just call him the Shadow Man in my house, because I don't think my daughter can say his name.
Mm.
But man, she loves that movie. So we should talk about the update, because She-Hulk and Angela and Enchantress are coming out tomorrow or this week. I don't know when people are going to hear this, but
I've already shipped out.
They've shipped! So yes. They're already out. So the affiliation list was updated.
Okay.
A-Force is, as we all expect, it's actually, A-Force is bigger than they showed it at first. It covers every good female character is on A-Force.
Nice.
So there were a couple surprises, like Storm is on there, which is amazing, because she has Fly, and you want her for the team drop-off.
Right.
Enchantress is in Asgard. She-Hulk has been added to Avengers, which is not that surprising, and that's the end of the affiliation updates. I think what a lot of people were waiting for is the errata, because Enchantress's ribbon ability was broken, where basically, like, you couldn't throw anything at her because you couldn't put the tool overlapping her.
We knew that there was going to be an update with her, but they just said, you know, it's going to wait until the official release date, basically.
Yeah, right? AMG basically said there will be an errata update when she releases. So there were actually three erratas for that one box, which is unfortunate that AMG had to do that. So Living Ribbons is now basically only for moving or climbing. Like, you cannot, when you're moving a character, you can't move over Angela. Angelic Assassin had a little bit of timing effect where basically you don't get to do it until after the attack fully resolves. Then you make her move in her attack. And then Grievous Wounds was errated, thankfully, because Grievous Wounds used to last the entire round, which means if you dazed someone, they couldn't heal and flip. They would flip with all the damage still on them. So now it's at the end of the activation phase, then they can be healed. So in the cleanup phase, you can still take damage off them. So they fixed Grievous Wounds, because it was just broken. So yay!
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of those were expected, but still, obviously, things that are good to see.
Yeah, I think none of these are unexpected or surprising. Also, Storm got errated. There was some discussion. She can't place... What is it? If you do choose it, she can't place herself. It says you choose another allied character within two of the active characters. So you can't place the activating character with it. You choose another allied character within two of the active characters. So just fixing some clarifications. So yay.
I don't know if they're doing this, but I really kind of wish that if on the characters that have been updated, if they posted like new cards of them that we could print, it would be nice.
No, that would be. I would really, and yeah, I think that they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But it would be nice.
A man can dream.
Indeed.
All right. So are we ready to talk about our character?
Yeah, unless you want to keep talking about how big your Millennium Falcon is.
It's very large.
Nice.
It's kind of funny. It's actually quite heavy. And it's getting to the point where, like, yes, if I have to place anything on the bottom, that it's difficult to, like, turn on its side because it's so heavy. So
cool. That's awesome. All right, so let's talk about Mystique. Mystique is our second Brotherhood of Evil Mutants leader. She is a threat 3, so big. She's half the cost of Magneto, which immediately makes her appealing in a lot of matchups. She's got 5 stamina on both sides. She's a long mover. She's size 2. Her defenses are middle of the road, 3-3-3, so already looking solid. She has the pistol as her primary attack that generates some power, so it's range 3, 4 power, 0 cost, and after the attack is resolved, she gains 1 power, but it has rapid fire, so you can make 2 pistol attacks pretty generally. So rapid fire is basically you get to make another pistol attack, but it loses the rapid fire rule. So, you know, fine. We've seen this on Black Widow. I think this is nice. It's going to be like the basic, you know, oh, this character just has a gun. She has Espionage, which is range 2. It's 6 strength, and then it's cost 3. And it's before damage is dealt, the target character gains the stun special condition. So I think right away we can say her attacks aren't amazing. They're okay. I do think Doomed Prophecy on Mystique is pretty solid, because if you can make 4 attacks at 7 dice, like, that's pretty sweet. Her leadership is, I think, really cool. Once per turn, after an allied character interacts with an extract objective token, after all effects are resolved, that allied character gains 1. So basically, interacting with most extract objective tokens is free, because you get the power back. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. And additionally, allied characters get a different interact ability. So it's interact and secure the objective token, and basically you place a token on the objective token, and then while your token is in play, you are securing it. And you remove it if an enemy character contests it. You can only have 1 token in play at a time as a result of the ability. So if you have like a backline objective, you go up to it, and instead of having to sit on the secure objective with a character, you place the token for one, and then you can walk away, and you still control it. It's so cool. And, like, how many Gamma Shelter games have you played where you need, like, a long-range attacker that just sits there and just attacks? This is such a neat ability. Especially, I think it's even more useful on the, like, the rectangle scenarios where you have two backline ones. Because, yeah, maybe Mystique is on a backline. Maybe, you know, you have Hawkeye or you have a long-range sniper of some kind, right? And this is just such a cool one. I think it's neat. And I think these two abilities of, like, you get your power back for interacting, and then you can basically snag a secure objective without having to sit on it. It makes her play, like, her leadership is so different from Magneto's. And I think in certain scenarios, you're just going to be like, oh yeah, Mystique is the more useful leader here because she's going to save me power and she's going to let me be in the fight instead of sitting back and doing nothing. So very cool. She has four superpowers. Her first one is Expert Sabotage. It costs 3 power and it is an action. So I think the mistake I made the first game I played was I just thought it wasn't an action. No, it's an action. And you choose a terrain feature of size 3 or less within 4 of her, and then enemy characters 1 from the terrain will suffer 2 damage, and then the terrain feature is destroyed. So you blow up a size 3, and you can give multiple characters 2 damage. It's nice. I don't know. It hasn't been, like, super useful. But it's nice to be able to just blow up a piece of terrain and do damage automatically without having any defense rolls. She's got Martial Artist, which we've seen in many characters. If she's defending against physical or energy from within 2, she gets blanks on her defense rolls. She has Shapeshifter, which is a unique ability. During her activation, enemy characters cannot use reactive superpowers or reactive team tactic cards. So you can't counter-strike, you can't increase your defenses. I don't know what reactive team tactic cards off the top of my head are really common, but it's really cool that, like, she shuts down a lot of enemy things during her activation. And then she has stealth, so you have to be within 3 of her to target. So overall, she is a control-y support character. And she leads a very different, like, type of idea for the Brotherhood. So where Magneto is giving power and kind of, you know, Magneto wants to be up in the front and fighting, Mystique is a more, you know, midline, far away, and she's all about scoring points and securing objectives.
So I am kind of curious, because I guess I am a fan of Magneto, do you think it's fair to say that most Brotherhood lists on the table are going to have both Mystique and Magneto?
Yeah, I think that's a fair... I think they're both going to be in your 10.
Yeah,
and,
obviously.
And I really do think that at small point levels, where there's a lot of objectives, you'd be more likely to drop Magneto and keep Mystique, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, definitely because we only have 4 characters right now, and I really do think, like, you're almost always gonna see Magneto, Mystique, and Toad more likely than you're going to see Sabretooth. So, right. Because we only have 4 characters, and I think Sabretooth is this really, you know, cool offensive character, but we have lots of, you know, non-affiliated offensive characters that might fit better into, like, what players want to do, or, you know, oh, I want to destroy terrain, or with Mystique, maybe, like, oh, I want to try to run Mystique, Toad, Sabretooth, and then, like, 2 unaffiliated. But I really do feel like you're going to see Magneto and Mystique more likely together with Magneto in charge, but if Mystique is the leader, I feel like you might be kind of teching for a bunch of objectives, and you might want to leave Magneto off to gain to have more characters to try to score.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess part of the purpose behind my question was, I guess, kind of a question of how frequently do you see Magneto and Mystique being on the table at the same time, and you having kind of the decision of which leadership you end up wanting to pick.
Yeah, so far, I have not seen a Brotherhood player leave either of them. It's always been right. Magneto and Mystique, and then they build around those two.
Right.
So they're like, this is my 9 points, what am I going to add?
So what have you been seeing has been the more popular of the leadership so far?
So far, I've seen Magneto more. I mean, Magneto is so powerful, and I think the generating all that power is just so useful. Mm-hmm. But again, it's only one power per character. And right. So, and a lot of times Magneto is so expensive, you're generally only taking 4 or 5 characters. And I think Mystique, in certain scenarios, might generate more power in the early game. Because you're not paying to interact.
Right.
So I really do feel like it's a little bit, I think Magneto is going to be more popular, but there's a part of me that thinks Mystique might be the better leader in the long term because she plays for points better. And I worry about Magneto getting like focused down often enough that he's not as good as we think he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't necessarily know what the right answer is on that. I honestly, the right answer is I think it's going to depend a lot on what the matchup is and what the scenario is, etc.
Exactly, and I think that's amazing. The fact that we have leaders
right.
and we can't say one is better all the time in every situation is right. dope. Right. I love like it just adds another thing to list building. You're like, I can take these 3 characters. But they can be for completely different crises. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So while we're talking about her leadership, I wanted to, I guess, do a rules question on it and make sure that I understood something properly with it. So let's say that I have the secure objective out there that I can interact with it to heal myself. Mm-hmm. I would have to pick whether or not to do this leadership interact or the heal interact between the two. Is that correct? Because
yes.
I could still only interact with the objective once per turn.
Yeah, you can only interact with each token once per turn. So you would choose either I heal and I stay here, or I maybe take it over and then I can move away.
Sure.
So you do. Yeah, you are restricted that way.
Okay. Well, I think that's something interesting to note. It is kind of interesting that, as far as the design, there are a fair number of things about Mystique that remind me of Black Widow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that's bad, but it. I guess. Let me ask you a question related to that. So, one of the things that I think that Marvel has, or that Atomic Mass has done a good job of is creating characters that kind of evoke the feeling of the characters that are in the comics, right? And so is part of why they feel the same in game? Do you feel like there's a fair number of similarities between those two characters in the comics as well? Or is it just kind of how things worked out, translate it into a game?
I think they're very similar. Else. No, I think they're very similar in like the roles they fill in their respective comics, right? They're both extremely powerful women who use weapons as their like form of combat. They are, they're like both usually disguised and they like trick people and they are both like martial masters. And I think. And in the cards, they both have stealth, martial artist, and pistol, right? Those 3 things in the game. But I think that also represents like how similar they are, where they're both the tricksters, they're both the like the spies. And Mystique's big difference, right, is that she is often like the leader of a group of bad mutants. And she's often like a terrorist as well as a spy, you know, she's got sabotage where she blows shit up and her leadership and her espionage attack that stuns. I think they've done a good job of making Mystique and Black Widow similar while still showing, like, you know, Mystique does more to lead and blow shit up than Black Widow.
Okay. The other thing that I guess kind of I was curious about with your experience of either playing her or watching her, with Expert Sabotage, I think I would agree that it seems like it's kind of a cool ability, but it's not that hard for an enemy character to stay farther than an inch away from Kurain, right? At least it would seem like. And so it seems like they would just play around it, and then it wouldn't come up very often.
I think the reasoning here is that enemy characters want to be one away from terrain so that it gives them cover.
Mm.
And this is like, oh, you're taking cover, huh? Kaboom! It's kind of the idea.
Okay.
I don't think it... I think if it costs two, I'd like it more. But...
Yeah.
Ability, and it's thematic, but, like, Expert Sabotage is my least favorite thing on her card. It is really easy to avoid. I think if I was playing against Mystique, I just would try to get cover from a size 4. I wouldn't be within one of it. And you're like, okay, I don't care.
Yeah.
Now, the situation where it might be really a bit cool is if there's an objective on top of a size 3 piece of terrain, and you have to be on it or near it to get... Then it would be a lot cooler.
I do think that, like, a guaranteed... 2 damage for 3 power is pretty good. It's, you know, obviously it's the trigger that is the issue with it.
Yeah, and it costing an action and 3 power almost makes it like a weird attack.
Right, yeah.
So it's fine. Like, I don't think it's bad. I just think it's a little corner case and it can be avoided.
Yeah. All right. Well, are there any final things you want to say about Mystique before we move into talking about the book club?
I just think, you know, if you're playing Mystique and Magneto, you really want to ask yourself, like, how much power can I save on my first 2 rounds by not having to pay for the extract objectives? And see if you think it's going to be more than 4. Like, if it's more than, like, 6 power, like, take Mystique. Like, it'll be great.
Yeah, I also think that any time where you can be, like, doing something that your opponent isn't expecting, I think that a lot of times people can get kind of blinkered into playing a certain way or a certain thing, and so throwing someone a curveball and taking using the Mystique leadership when they're not expecting it, I think can sometimes be a strong choice just on that, because, like you said, I think a lot of times people are more familiar with play and counterplay on the other one.
Totally.
All right. Well, are you ready to introduce our comic book club?
Hell yes. So, to focus on Mystique, we read the Days of Future Past comic. So, this is Uncanny X-Men. Issues 141 and 142. This is back before comics were, like, super easy to get and storylines were generally a lot shorter. So Days of Future Past is only these 2 issues, and it's really interesting how close it is to the movie. So basically it starts with showing Kitty Pryde in the apocalyptic hellscape of 2013. Pause for laughter. And it shows...
they're just off by 7 years.
Yeah, they're so close. But, so it's, you know, it's... New York is a hell world, and everything's blown up. And the Sentinels have, you know, put control collars on all the mutants, and they've killed all the superheroes. And, you know, just everything fucking sucks. And it's night all the time, I assume. And... you know, it shows a lot of, like, Kitty Pryde has to walk past the graves of all the superheroes to get to, you know, her place where her and the other X-Men live now. And it's just, it's Colossus, Storm, Magneto, Franklin Richards, and, Rachel, I think it's Rachel Summers, because she's actually a like alternate future daughter of a Cyclops and a clone of Jean Grey, if I'm not mistaken. But so I assume most of us have seen X-Men Days of Future Past. So instead of sending Wolverine back into his body, they send Kitty Pryde back into her body, because as a young, like, 15-year-old girl, she hasn't been trained to protect herself psychically, and this is basically, like, a psychic attack. And so she goes back in time to the X-Men of the 80s, and she basically convinces them, y'all, today they're gonna assassinate, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants is gonna assassinate Robert Kelly, and that is going to lead about the hellscape of 2013, and we need to stop it. So Kitty Pryde and the X-Men go to DC to prevent it. And at the same time, it flashes back to the future, and it shows like the Sentinels are just, they rip the, you know, they're ripping through everything and they're murdering the X-Men one by one. So I think they start by blasting Franklin Richards. And then they kill Wolverine, relatively, you know, no, not right away, but they're killing, like, they kill Wolverine and they kill Storm and Cyclops and Colossus. And Magneto, like, had already sacrificed himself to stall because he's in a wheelchair. Back in the present, we see, like, Mystique and the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, which at this point is, Blob, Pyro, Avalanche, and Destiny. Blob is super fat and has like gravity control, so that's how he holds himself together, basically. Pyro is fire. Avalanche can like make earthquakes and break things, basic like inanimate objects. Destiny can see the future, and Destiny and Mystique are, so when Chris Claremont wrote this, he knew that they're lovers, but he was never allowed to write that into the comics. So they're just really good friends. So it shows the terror attack where the Brotherhood attacks, like the U.S. Senate, and they blow up the wall, and goddamn, is that timely. Fucking shit. and so then the X-Men come to save the day. Because this is a fantasy, and someone comes to save things. God damn it. So they fight, and it continues basically with that general plot.
real quick.
I'm so tilted right now. Yeah, Jay, what's up?
I'll get your mind off of it by making a joke. Like, I did find it a little hilarious that they're like, yes, the apocalypse started with the election of 1980. And I was like, it all makes so much sense now. Sorry, that probably tilted you even more.
What, Reagan beating Carter?
Yeah, I'm fine. Oh, okay, good.
Carter's still alive.
It's true.
So, honestly, like, it's a lot of back and forth fighting. You get to see more X-Men die in the future. There's the part where Mystique hints that she knows Nightcrawler's secret identity or whatever. So I pulled this back up. So Nightcrawler goes, "Your skin, your eyes. If this is indeed your true form, we are so alike." And then she says, "Could it be, Kurt Wagner, that you are not so unique as you once thought?" And he goes, "You know my name. Who are you?" And she goes, "Ask your mother, Margalie Savardos. Who would know better than she?" And so he's kind of, Nightcrawler later says, "Some of those things she said, I must learn the answers, the truth." Mystique is in Marvel Comics Nightcrawler's mom. So that's what she's hinting at. Fun fact I found is that originally Chris Claremont wanted Mystique to be his dad and Destiny to be his mom. So that's pretty cool, and I kind of am just imagining that that's the fact now. So a little further on, Destiny is about to kill Robert Kelly, and Kitty Pryde phases through her and kind of like fucks her up because she can see the temporal anomaly because she's a precog. So the assassination fails, and then that causes future Kitty, that gives future Kitty Pride, like, gets rid of her because they saved the timeline and adult Kitty Pride no longer exists. And then it kind of goes into the like, did we save the future? And then it shows that the failed assassination attempt didn't so much fix everything as it did, like, slowed things down. Because the last page is the president basically making a new project called Project Wide Awake. And this was Robert Kelly and Sebastian Shaw and Henry Gyrick coming together to... They're basically planning the future of, like, anti-mutant weapons. And so in the actual timeline, this is when the Sentinel Project kicks into high gear. And then they also do these other projects that have big effects later. Like, Forge is introduced working on Project Wide Awake. But that's the end of this storyline. Mystique, led the assassination attempt and failed, but the X-Men saved the future. So what did you think of this comic, Jay?
So
I think it's worth comparing it to the movie because
okay,
because like Days of Future Past is, in my opinion, the best X-Men movie.
That might be true. I still have a soft spot for the second X-Men. Also, like, are you considering Logan to be an X-Men movie?
Logan is not. It's like a standalone thing. Logan's okay. Not a team movie. It's not X-Men.
Yeah, that's like, I would probably agree with that. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously I think the movie's better, right? I mean, is...
Sure. No, I mean, okay, so this is a comic from 1980, right? Like, it's okay. This like set the stage. Like so much of the movie just came from this.
Right.
Like the split story where it's part in the future, part in the present. The assassination of Robert Kelly by Mystique to save the future, but it's actually gonna doom the future. The Magneto like is a good guy. I really like the Kitty Pryde. Like in the movie, Kitty Pryde just helps, like, Logan's brain go to the past, which doesn't make sense, because her power is physically phasing through things. How did she help his brain go back? I don't know. Not that anything has to make sense, right?
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. So, I did think it was really interesting that, like, it's one of the things you said at the start, that basically they did the story arc in two comics.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think I'm more used to and probably like the more modern ones where they go over longer, more comics to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's fine. One thing that was interesting was that it did kind of feel like the comics themselves were sort of dense and that they read a little bit slower than some of the other comics that we've done, like it time wise, as far as like the amount of time that it took to read the two, it felt more like what I would expect from the amount of time it would take to read three or maybe four comics. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it had that thing present with a lot of old comics where like it's dense, and there's it's very text dense, and there were a lot of characters you know. I have a gimmick to knock the doors and alarms out, he says as he like does the thing. And
yeah, I mean, I've said this before, but this is probably the era of comics that I struggle the most with. I didn't especially like the artwork, and it's again, I on some of the older ones, I feel like okay, sure. I can understand why, but I guess I should be more forgiving on these ancient 80s ones, too. And definitely there were parts in the dialogue or their internal monologue, excuse me, where I was just like, oh, there were a few, like, kind of cringeworthy moments in in the dialogue or internal monologues, I guess I would say as well.
Yeah, totally fair. And also very, like, evocative of this era
right,
in comics.
Yeah, right,
which is, it was the style, and so I don't think they could do anything without it, right?
Like,
I do...
Here's another thing that, like, comparing the movie to the comic. So, with the movie, one of the things that I thought they did really, really well was, so Kitty Pryde is using her superpowers on Wolverine, and they're getting attacked, and the fighting is essentially to give extra time to Kitty and to Wolverine. And, like, that just makes a lot of storytelling-wise sense, right? Meanwhile, you read like this...
Like, if they disturb Logan, they fuck everything up. That's what you mean?
Yes, right, yeah. Right.
Because his mind is currently being sent back at every time. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so, like, it felt like there was... The things that were happening in the future were really important, because if they had an issue, then it was going to... Then this chance to try to fix the past was going to get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I would read the stuff in the future in this one, I'd be like, I don't understand why I care about what's going on here, because it's just going to change, and there isn't... Like, maybe I missed it, or maybe... like, it felt like it was just kind of this superfluous story that was happening in the future.
Yeah. I think they were just showing, like... I think they were... They did have to protect Kitty Pryde, but it was also showing how brutal the deaths of all the X-Men were to, like...
Sure, I mean, like, it was... I will say, one of my favorite panels of this arc was when the Sentinel, like, blasts Wolverine, and...
You can see his, like, metal skeleton fall to the ground the next page, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
It was fucking brutal. Like, you see his, yeah, like, you see his, like, red, it's very, it's, like, black and red and white, but you, like, see his flesh getting blown off, and then his metal skeleton's on the ground. That's fucked up. He also looks a lot like a Terminator, like, I noticed that.
Yeah, he does.
That.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's got just, it doesn't look like a human skeleton. Like, I think that was, they did a bad job drawing a metal skeleton, but, so, you know, it's funny, though, talking about the movie, everything you just said that you liked was not a part of the original movie, because in the original movie, they were supposed to be going to save Rogue from, like, a Sentinel camp, and that's why Anna Paquin is first name in the credits in that movie, even though she's not in it.
Huh.
What is she, like, when they filmed that movie, she had just, she was, like, in True Blood, and she was just in a really big movie, and she's first billed, like, above everyone else. And, like, it's crazy. Like, Hugh Jackman let them put her above him for like, the credits. And I always thought that was so funny, because you don't even see her face in the normal movie. You just see the back of her head at the very end. they edited her out completely, because they cut that, because they realized it didn't connect to the, like, rest of the movie. It was just this added plot line. Huh. So that's really funny to me that you would think about that.
Okay, well, we're going to pause there and continue this discussion in the bonus episode. Before we sign out, be sure to check out Discount Games Inc., check out Muse on Minis, and sign up on our Patreon, because that's what awesome people do, and we appreciate that. Greg, what is our comic for the next episode? Hello, Greg?
Well, I cannot find my notebook where I planned out our next few episodes.
Okay, well,
but,
check out
but our
the
next
social
episode,
medias.
But our next episode, we are doing Cyclops, so please check us on social media, because we're going to be doing a classic Cyclops story, and it's going to be really good, because I already read it, and I can't remember the name of it, because I've also been reading every new X-Men comic that comes out, and I'm all jumbled up. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We still love you.
You shouldn't. I'm the worst.
That's not true at all.
Womp womp. Where's my goddamn notebook?
Okay, well, thank you everyone, and stay tuned to our next episode.